Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Our topics for today, we're going to address what the PJR Pro 3 document is and where it is established that you have to follow what's in the Pro 3. We'll also cover where you can obtain the Pro 3 and give you some indication of where the requirements within the Pro 3, where they come from. We're going to try to provide some common sense explanations of what the requirements mean, as well as ramifications for non-compliance. So first of all, what is the Pro 3? Well, the Pro 3 document's full title is Procedure for Publicizing or Advertising Certification and the Use of the PJR Logo, Standard Licensing Body Logos, and Accreditation Body Symbols. Now, we wrote this document to ensure that both PJR and our certificated clients are best enabled to remain in compliance with the many industry and accreditation body requirements that pertain to the promotion of your certification. Now, in terms of where it is established that you have to abide by the requirements, compliance with Pro 3 and the related requirements it's found in two key aspects. First of all, any ISO 9001 or any other Annex SL rooted document, any ISO 9001 certified client is subject to the bylaws of the industry at large and from PJR specifically. That makes PJR and the other related interests, it makes them relevant interested parties. And that's a tie into clause 4.2 from ISO 9001:2015. Now, additionally, compliance to Pro 3 is a contractual matter. If you've ever read the contractual terms and conditions, which is PJR form F3TC, there's a couple of contractually binding statements that relate to this. First of all, it states that the organization warrants and covenants with PJR that it will use all registration marks properly in accordance with Pro 3, and that you will include the rules for their use in your documented procedures. Also, it goes on to state that the organization warrants and covenants with PJR that it will at all times comply with all reasonable requirements necessary for the issuance of the registration certificate, including but not limited to, and it goes on to include the requirements of the accreditation bodies. Their logos are very much in play with those requirements. So it is both a compliance matter in terms of coming out of ISO 9001, and it's also a contractual matter. Now, in terms of where you can get a copy of Pro 3, we are actually required to make Pro 3 available in a publicly accessible manner. For this, we've created a page on our website. It's titled Registration Document Download. Now, if you visit pjr.com, if you go to the very bottom of the PJR homepage, you will find the link titled Registration Document Download. Click on that link and you'll find Pro 3 and several other documents of interest. Now, in terms of where these requirements come from, where were the requirements that make up what's in Pro 3? There's a lot of industry requirements and also accreditation body requirements that are applicable when you want to promote your certification. So what I've provided on this slide here are some examples. Now, some of these are public domain. Some of these can be downloaded for free, and I've tried to mark those. Now, this list is not exhaustive. It does not cover all of our accreditations, but probably the primary three, if you will, at least here in the United States, are going to be ISO 17021. Now, that's a document that can be thought of sort of as ISO 9001 for certification bodies. The ANAB PR1018, that is a public domain document. You can find it on the ANAB website. And then the UCAS requirement, which doesn't have a number, they call it accreditation logos and symbols, the national accreditation logo and symbols, conditions for use. That is also a public domain document and can be acquired for free on the UCAS website. So some other examples, ITF Rules 5th edition, the FSSC Foundation, Scheme Requirements Part 2, and the SIRI License Agreement for R2 Certification Appendix C. So all of these various requirements and more make up what is found within the Pro 3 document. Now, while there are multiple documents in play here, if you read through them, they all kind of boil down to two common themes. They all sort of say the same thing, albeit with different words. First of all, an organization cannot advertise their certification in any way that states or implies that the certification applies to any non-certified locations. So in other words, if you come from a very large corporation and you've got locations all over the world, you need to be very careful about advertising which locations are included in the certification. Also, you're not allowed to reference your certification in any way that states or implies that it's your products or services that are certified. Now, we're going to cover what's meant by that a little bit later in the presentation, but understand that these are management system certifications. ISO 9001 is quality management systems. ISO 14001 is environmental management systems, and so forth. So again, these are not product certifications like you have with the CE mark and UL and so forth. Now, we have to start at the very top with this, and this is actually something that we see more often than we should, quite frankly. And that is the official ISO logo. You are not permitted to use the ISO logo, the official ISO logo, for any reason. They take the matter of their own logo very seriously, and they've actually got some very strong language on the website about legal ramifications for noncompliance. So I've provided a URL on the page here if you want to check that out. And learn about the ISO logo, but all of these examples here, that globe logo with ISO written across the top, that's their logo, and they're very serious about it. So absolutely do not use the official ISO logo in any way, shape, or form. Now, with that, we turn our attention to the accreditation body logos. Now, here in the United States, the primary logo that we provide on most client certifications is from the ANSI National Accreditation Board, or ANAB. Now, internationally, we have four other accreditation bodies that we're certified through. I mentioned earlier UCAS, that's from the United Kingdom. We also have AIMA from Mexico, Accredia from Italy, and JAB from Japan. Now, in terms of sectors, we have even more accreditations. We have the automotive accreditation through IATF. We have a couple of recycling classifications. We're R2 through SIRI. We have the RIOS accreditation. And we even have the Food Safety Foundation, the FSSC Foundation. Now, all of these accreditation bodies, both the international and the sector, they all have a logo that we will put on the certificate where appropriate. Now, most of the accreditation bodies, they will allow you to use the logo on your website, on marketing materials, and so forth. Now, the only two notable exceptions to that are IATF and AIMA. In both cases, they have mandated that their logo can only appear on the registration certificate. Now, you're permitted to put your certificate up on the website, that's fine, but you cannot use the IATF or AIMA logo in any other capacity. Now, for those that permit you to have some additional usages of the logo, they have a two-part requirement. And again, this is common language for all of these other accreditation bodies. First of all, you cannot use their logo without using the PJR logo at the same time. They have to be right next to each other. And again, they don't want their logo used in any way that implies that the products or services themselves are certified. So they're very particular about that, that you cannot use that logo in any way where it makes it sound like a stamp of approval on the physical products. Now, unfortunately, because of how UCAS has written their requirements, it gets a little bit complicated. If you read the UCAS logo document, there's language in there that reads as follows. The national accreditation symbol, the UCAS logo, and the certification body mark, that's the PJR logo, shall be enclosed in a box. So they're so particular about it that they insist that their logo and the PJR logo have to be in a box together. So we have some clients that wanted to use, for example, the UCAS and ANAB logos together on the website. Well, what this means is because we have to put the PJR and UCAS logos in a box, ANAB got upset and they said, oh, this makes it look like we've accredited UCAS, which of course is not the case. So it's kind of a dueling accreditation body issues going on here. So what this means in plain English is if you are going to have more than one AB logo on your website or on marketing material, you need to use the PJR logo multiple times as well. So on the left here, I have the PJR and UCAS logos in the box, just like we're supposed to, and the ANAB logo kind of floating off to the side. Well, ANAB got real upset about that. They said, oh no, you can't do that. And they insisted that what we told our clients is what you see on the right, that the PJR logo in this instance has to appear twice so that it is very obvious that PJR is accredited by UCAS and PJR is accredited by ANAB. So kind of a frustrating thing for our clients, but nevertheless, this is absolutely what is required. So do not do what you see on the left here. Now, your best bet, quite frankly, is to get creative in marketing your management system certification and come up with your own logo. If you have an art department, if you have a website designer, have them come up with their own logo, maybe something that incorporates your existing company logo or company brand. If you do that, then you'll be assured that you're not running afoul of any AB requirements, and perhaps you'll even stand out from your competition. Now, I want to talk a little bit about when you put your certificate up on your website. There are two common mistakes that we see, and we want to make sure that you're aware of both of them. This is obviously very common. Organizations want to make sure that their clients know that they're ISO 9001 certified, so they put the cert up on the website to make it very easy for them. But there are two common issues that we have seen. Firstly, the certificate is put up in color and can be downloaded. Now, the reason that is potentially an issue, the accreditation bodies each have mandates on what colors can be used when you are presenting their logo. And this goes right down to referencing Pantone branded color specifications. They're very, very specific about it. So if you have a color copy of your certificate on the website that can be downloaded and printed, it's possible that when you print it, it's going to run against those color specifications. So we encourage you to either stick to a black and white copy of the certificate or otherwise take steps to make sure that that color copy can't be downloaded. Also, At times we see issues where the certificate on the website isn't the current certificate. Now, you are permitted to present a certificate history. You know, we have some clients where they want to demonstrate that they've been certified for 15 years, for 20 years, what have you. And that's fine. That's great. But you have to make sure that your most current certificate is always displayed. The most up-to-date certificate has to be shown. Now, some other common issues that we see on websites. Sometimes if you visit a website, you'll see a banner that reads across the top or along the bottom, and it'll say ISO certified. Well, understand there's hundreds of ISO standards. You have to indicate which ISO standard you're referring to. Are you ISO 9001 certified, ISO 27001 certified? Is it both, etc.? Also, we sometimes see websites where there's a common header that references the certification, and it shows up on pages that are referencing activities or locations that aren't actually part of the certification. So for example, let's say that you have offices in Michigan that are ISO 9001 certified, but you are also operating in Indiana, Wisconsin, and Ohio. And when we visit the web pages for those facilities, that banner is still up there saying ISO 9001 certified. That's a problem, because if Indiana, Wisconsin, and Ohio aren't actually certified, then that website needs to be corrected. Or also, let's say that you have a machine shop that is ISO 9001 certified and a foundry that is not. Well, if we see the ISO certification being referenced on the website on pages that discuss foundry operations, that's a problem, because it makes it look like the foundry is ISO 9001 certified when it's actually only the machine shop. So some of these requirements can get kind of layered depending on if you have a limited scope of certification. Now, we mentioned earlier that you can't say that the product or service is certified. So there's a couple of very specific cases that are outlined in Pro 3. And I want to reference these in turn here. You cannot reference the certification on a document that's directly related to a product. So this would include things like inspection reports, certificates of analysis, certificates of approval. None of these documents can have any mention of the certification, because again, that is interpreted as saying that we've certified the product. So if you are a calibration facility, if you are an inspection facility, your inspection reports cannot mention your certification. It's not allowed. Second example, if you have a packaging, the packaging cannot reference the ISO certification. Now, product packaging is defined as follows. It is considered as that which can be removed without the product disintegrating or being damaged. This includes individual packaging or bulk packaging. Now, in some cases, you are allowed to reference the certification on product packaging, but there is much more detail that has to be provided. In other words, it can't just say ISO 9001 certified on the grain bag. If you choose to reference your certification on product packaging, that reference needs to include the name of the certified organization, the type of management system certification, and it has to identify PJR as the certification body. So for example, this product is manufactured by ABC Plant of XYZ Company, certified ISO 9001 by PJR. So that's a lot of detail that has to be provided. So with product packaging, again, your best bet is just not to reference the certification at all. Now, non-compliance with logo usage or related requirements absolutely can be cited as a non-conformance in the context of an audit or even outside of an audit. Now, as I mentioned earlier, our requirements, the requirements of the accreditation bodies, even the ISO itself, makes us all relevant interested parties in your certification and thus falls under clause 4.2 of any Annex SL based standard. Now, if you fail to effectively respond to a nonconformance, obviously that can lead to certificate suspension and even certificate withdrawal. So we do have to take these matters very seriously. And when you have these brought to your attention, hopefully you are going to address them seriously as well. Now, in conclusion, we do share your excitement at attaining your management system certification. We definitely want you to promote it to the fullest extent possible, but at the same time, we must ensure the promotion of your certification is done in accordance with the many applicable bylaws and requirements that we're held accountable to. I'd like to invite you to tune in for one of our other webinars. We have a very popular webinar on the interaction of processes and how to build your process maps and how to deploy your processes. Also, we have a presentation on non-applicable clauses and what can and cannot be excluded in a management system certification. And we've got webinars on a wide variety of other topics, stage one auditing, several of the standards that we certify, and so forth. If you'd like to be kept informed of the latest news automatically, the best way for you to do that is to visit our website at www.pjr.com. Go to the bottom of the page, enter your email address in the provided space, and click subscribe. You will be opted in for automatic updates on upcoming webinars, changes to standards, and other points of information. I do thank you for your time. I'm going to go ahead and unlock the question portion of the dashboard, if you'll bear with me just a moment. Okay. All right. Well, it would appear I don't have access to the question grid here, so I'm going to ask my technical assistant if we have any questions from our participants today.
Sure thing. Let's see. We've got a question here from Michelle. Michelle's asking, Joe, if you could further define the difference between industry standards and accreditation standards.
Well, industry standards would refer to the requirements that are established by the ISO itself, and perhaps like the IAF. Those are the parent organizations, if you will, of certification at large. Accreditation requirements are going to be the ones that come from the international members, folks like ANAB, UCAS, JAB, what have you.
All right, great. We've got a not so much a question, but a request to emphasize from Clive here. Clive says, could you also stress that not only are products or services not certified, but the organization itself is not certified, just the management system to the specific standard.
Interesting point. I don't think it's necessarily an issue for an organization to say that they are ISO 9001 certified. That's not established in any particular requirement. And that's obviously very common for an organization to say that they are ISO 9001 certified, interesting point.
All right, we've got a clarification from requested from Tom. Tom would like to know, would it be appropriate to write on a business card that they are ISO 9001 certified?
Absolutely, business cards are completely fine. To indicate the only danger with that is whatever locations are referenced on that business card have to be the ones that are actually part of the management system certification. But yes, business cards are absolutely fine.
All right, there's a question here from Tram. Tram is wondering, what would you say is the best placement of the logo on a company website, perhaps under their quality policy or maybe the homepage?
Most commonly, we see the logos used either right on the web homepage, if you will, or on a separate page that discusses the quality system certifications.
All right, great. We've got a good question here from Sarah. Sarah's asking, if we use the PJR logo on our website, does it have to also be accompanied by the UCAS and ANAP logos?
It does not. You're absolutely permitted to use the PJR logo by itself in referencing your management system certification.
All right, we've got a question here from David. Is it acceptable to put a statement such as AS9100D/ISO9001 registered facility on your inspection data sheets?
To my knowledge, that is not permitted.
All right, that is the last of the questions that I see right now, but if anyone else has any others, please send them in and I can read them off for Joe.
We can also take questions via email if you think of something later. If you want to send in a question to pjr@pjr.com.
All right, there's no more questions coming through that I can see, Joe, so if you want to wrap it up, I think we're all good.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for your time and your questions. Have a great day.